Here it comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Everybody, you are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight in the Southwest, and we have a big, huge spotlight we're going to put on Pima County tonight. Thanks for joining me. My in-studio guest is Pima Association of Governments Claire Zucker. How's that? Good?
Yeah.
Zucker, like sugar. Sustainable Environment Program Director. And thanks, everybody, for being with us here tonight. I invite you to connect with me on Facebook and Twitter. If you want to follow my blog, I'll love you forever. And remember that I'm here live every Saturday Pacific Standard Time right now, broadcasting Mrs. Green's World, where I interview guests from all over the country on every aspect of sustainability that you can imagine. So, Claire, thanks you for being with us tonight. There's so much to cover.
You're welcome.
And the time will go. So you can tell it's going to be a fun show. And people who are listening in, give it a chuckle. It's Tuesday night, and we're down to earth with Mrs. Green. So why don't we start? Some night I'm going to sing, let's start at the very beginning.
Yes.
What is PAG? People don't really know. It's not on the tip of everybody's tongue. What is Pima Association of Governments? Very important role in the community.
We do have an important role. We're really a regional planning agency. And a lot of people are familiar with RTA, which is sort of associated with us, same board of directors. But we are actually a council of governments. And so we work with all the different jurisdictions. We work with the county and the cities in the region. We also work with the community as well. So we try and connect people.
You guys are out there. I mean, I can tell you you're out there. I see, Colleen Crown and Shield, who I'm sure wants to clone herself, head of Clean Cities and the Solar Partnership. And she's running around at everything. I see Beth. She's from DEQ.
She's from Pima County DEQ.
DEQ, right. I mean, it's like we meet ourselves coming and going.
We are often confused with Pima County.
All out there,
A lot of people think we're Pima County. We're not. We're Pima Association
of Governments. I love the fact that it's a regional planning council and incorporates a lot of these different programs that really do make our world a better place.
Yeah, it's an unusual organization because at the top we have this board of directors, which consists of an elected official from each of the jurisdictions. And then below that we have a number of different committees, and including the one that is sort of at the top of our environmental program called the Environmental Planning Advisory Committee. And that committee has, 33 members from all the jurisdictions, including citizen representatives of the jurisdictions. It's one of the only places where people all get together and get informed and actually move some issues and ideas forward.
And in some places, I don't want to be, regional planning is an oxymoron. So it's really nice to know that
we
there
do
is.
Our best.
You do. Really do. And there's a lot of wonderful programs that are implemented, and I'm sure far too many programs and not enough time. So what about your new sustainability program? It's relatively new, and how is it different?
Well, it's exciting. It's really exciting because for years we've had sort of like separate programs for watershed planning, for air quality planning, and for travel demand management, which is sort of your transportation choices when you go to work or move around town. And these three programs have come together under the Sustainable Environment Program. And as the term would indicate, there's an environmental bent to
it's
this
very
program.
Clear too. I like that it's sustainable environment.
I like it too.
I even know what that means.
I like it too. It conjures images, and
it does.
We're really excited about that. Now, the watershed management program has for many years done research on Sienega Creek and looking at drought indicators, all that sort of thing. We also do some work for the city of Tucson.
Is that where storm water runoff is?
We
does
do
it lives in there because that's a huge one.
Yeah, the storm water pollution pollution prevention programs on the watershed program.
Right.
And then we have the air quality program, which looks at what are the constituents in our air. Actually, Pima County Department of Environmental Quality is the monitoring agency.
Right, we get alerts.
Yeah,
they are incredible. And I send alerts out. Yes.
Yeah, and we are the planning agency, so a little bit different there.
Right.
We do some of the modeling. We combine.
Do you plan for the air quality? I'm just kidding.
Well, I'd love to, but we actually...
I would love it if you did.
But we actually look at we model it and use that in our transportation planning to see if we put in a new road, are we going to, you know, what effect are we going to have?
What impact is it going to have
on the air quality?
So it's really
and
massive.
Then also we look at we get greenhouse gas information and do inventories of that, and that actually helps with some of our jurisdictional needs to monitor and inventory and plan. So under the mayor's climate protection, what is that agreement?
Yep.
I think that's what it's called.
Yep, right.
They have a requirement to reduce pollutants and reduce emissions.
It's a mandate.
It's a requirement for them. They, you know, sort of self-imposed decision. And some of our work really helps that. So anyway, we have these programs, air quality and the watershed planning programs, which have these research arms and also these outreach arms. And we have this travel demand management program, which has now been merged.
So tell us what exactly that is.
Travel demand management.
There's a lot in it. Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot in it. It's a wonderful program. You're probably familiar with things like Sun Rideshare.
Absolutely.
Have you heard that? So it's
absolutely. Ruth would slap me if I said I didn't.
Yes,
I'm absolutely
yes.
familiar
Ruth
with that.
Ruth is the manager of
and
that
I don't
program.
Want her to slap me.
She does an incredible job.
She does.
She does. And so in the past few years, it's moved into a lot of web-based interaction with the public.
Right.
So that they have easy access right from their computer or now from their smartphone.
Right.
Right.
I know. Love that. You can listen to Mrs. Green's World on your iPhone or Droid.
That's a good reason to get one, right?
So, if you're sitting where I am, it's a great reason.
So anyway, you can get a carpool, you get a carpool match, you can figure out how much you would save as far as money. If you were able to.
And it's really more and more becoming such an economic impact. And gas prices are going to go up and up and up.
It is. And, you know, I was sitting with Ruth in the office today, and we're talking about, you know, the fact that saving money is a big motivator for all of us. And I was actually in a meeting today where they were talking about somebody who commuted 5 miles each way and would save $1,000 by taking the bus in a year.
It's coming up as a budget item.
I actually worked it out for myself.
And how much would you save?
Well, I work about 4 miles away. I live about 4 miles away from my work. And I spent, according to this calculator, I spent $3,500 a year commuting.
So is the calculator online?
Yeah, it's online.
Because you have to factor in wear and tear on your vehicle and all that stuff.
Right, and what kind of
vehicle
and what
your car and gas and oil.
So anyway.
Okay,
it's
$3,500. I don't want to gloss over that. That's a budget item.
Exactly. Okay. So that's what I spend. If I took the bus, some portion of that would be used to take the bus. But if I would just get off my tushy and bicycle more often, then
I know. I think about that, and I'm still terrified. Like up here where I live. To go on the streets, like on, this is a regional show.
Oh, really?
On Pontotoc, I'm like, I am sticking to
the
bike
paths.
Well,
we have more bike roads.
Many. If you're going to the university.
And more that, you know, we're getting more hawks and more boulevards. And speaking of which, this program, Travel Demand Program, just did a big effort in the Keeling neighborhood, which is along the Fontana Bike Boulevard, a new bike boulevard in town. Had great attendance, great participation from the community. It actually created a map with all of the different businesses that you can get to on foot and by various kinds of transportation.
And it's so nice to be able to do that and not drive everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's really nice. And a lot of people, especially in the downtown area, they literally do go 8 to 5. So then the challenge becomes planning if you have a meeting and it's off the downtown route or whatever, because most people don't want to get buses to go attend to a 10 o'clock meeting.
Right.
But I'm sure there are ways to look at that too. So what are some of the exciting things that you're planning to do? Since how old is the job and the position? How long have you been in it?
I've only been in it since October.
Oh my goodness. So there's lots to talk about for the future.
Well, there is. And I would say, so we've talked about how we have these different programs and we've pulled them in together. Now the Travel Demand Management Program actually has a lot of outreach. They have like 294 companies with over 100 employees that they do outreach to. So
amazing.
It's a huge amount of people. Neither water or air quality has that sort of inroads to business population.
Right, right.
So that is an advantage
public to us. Private partnerships.
Right.
Love that phrase.
Right. So I know. So we have that advantage, but we've done a lot of outreach in both of those programs, both the air quality and the water quality area. So what's on the horizon? I think the best thing about this whole sustainable environment program is that we're able to look at the sort of the junction between different programs.
And earlier you used the word nexus. I love that word.
Yes.
I absolutely love that. It's like to me where all things come together.
Right.
I love it.
And we're able to fit in some programs that we were doing anyway but didn't have a happy home in our old structure.
Right. The stepchildren are all under one roof.
Exactly.
It's very, very good analogy.
Yeah. So sort of the ankle bone connected to the leg bone.
Right, right.
Kind of a thing.
Now they're connected.
So one of those areas is buffelgrass. We've been interested
gosh.
In, you know, helping deal
with the buffelgrass removal
issue for a long time.
Do you have
time.
Any hope for that? I mean, seriously, I like to have hope for the future.
You know,
but
the Southern Arizona Buffelgrass Coordination Center has done an incredible job. They've just brought in
yes.
a $3.4 million FEMA pre-disaster mitigation grant to our region. They just brought in $3.5 million.
And where is that
and
going to be housed?
Two.
With them?
It's actually going out to the entities that are going to do the removal. So
and I know I see things from BJ Cordova all the time from Tucson Clean and Beautiful. I know that's one you probably partner
There's
with.
There's tons
they
of...
They do so much.
Mm-hmm. There are some wonderful organizations doing buffelgrass removal, but it's going to take big money and really a concerted effort.
To and, even put a dent in it. I mean, it's like it is like the devil.
Yeah, I like to call it the scourge.
It is the scourge. It's like locusts came in, only they stayed and they're still eating everything.
You know, and strangely enough, the fact that it is such an enormous fire danger is actually probably the thing that will let us fight it the best.
Right, right.
So if we had a noxious weed that was just destroying the desert and wasn't a fire danger...
Right.
It would be harder to get funding.
Right. It would be the new great weed. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Yeah.
So,
and that's also the terrible thing about it, of course. I mean, it's really frightening when you see the models of the desert just burning up from buffelgrass.
Because it's like a matchstick.
It is.
I mean, it really is. So
it
that's
is.
Very
so
exciting
news. So
$2.5
million. I mean, three and a half.
And
$2.1 potentially coming in next year. And it's linked to the roads because the roads are the transportation, the seed transportation mechanism.
Right.
So anything that has to do with roads is of interest to PAG. We funnel federal transportation dollars through to the region.
Right.
So we have a link with that, and it's great to have a department where we can, you know, where buffelgrass has a home, you know, to talk about to work on. Another one of those sort of nexus areas is low impact development, LID.
I love to talk about that too. I'm serious. So explain to people what that is. That is an exciting thing that I didn't have any idea was under your purview.
Yeah. Well, it's very much along our lines of interest. So what it really is it's using stormwater close to its source. Rainwater harvesting is the prime example of how you would use that. I mean, it's using
right.
But we often think of rainwater harvesting as something you do in your own backyard or your own front yard, and it is. I guess the difference when you're talking about low impact development, when you use that term, it really merges into that stormwater management arena. And this is really largely being pushed by the fact that our regulations are requiring low impact development and green infrastructure to deal with stormwater. And the city and county, the different municipal stormwater purveyors, basically, have a requirement to prevent stormwater pollution. And this is a major means of doing that. So we have a really awesome nexus between a resource that we can use in our in our environment,
the rain,
which is maybe intermittent,
right?
So it's not as reliable as or consistent. I would say it's probably reliable, not consistent. And so we have that. We have stormwater regulations to prevent pollution. We have streets that convey that stormwater that is our main conveyance system here, the street system.
And you know which ones they are when the rain really comes down.
Well, that's the way that's the way it's set up.
Yes.
Yeah. And so we have all this sort of dovetailing, and it's just a perfect fit for PAG to try and
So give me an example. I mean, I do know some things about this because I am Mrs. Green and I go to lots of presentations. I know one of the issues, and maybe it's something that you're doing, is the ongoing education for businesses, for example, and things that they can do
right,
so that all of the oil and water and trash on their properties, their stormwater containment, and their partners in this, because we all benefit. So is that the kind of thing that you'll be helping to do?
Oh, absolutely. And we absolutely help inform them. In fact, we just did a seminar, a half-day seminar, to the construction industry who are dealing with, you know, constructing commercial developments. The city and Oro Valley both have ordinances that require that 50% of their outdoor water use is supplied by rainwater harvesting. And so they have a really strong impetus to
I remember when that
this.
Passed, actually.
Yeah.
I do. It's like, yeah, we've got to start all connecting the dots here, folks, because we live in one environment.
Well, it's really exciting. One of the things that I find so exciting about rainwater harvesting and low-impact development is sort of the ability to green our whole community, including our underserved populations, which are getting less and less green by the day. I recently attended a wonderful low-impact development conference held here in Tucson that was a whole Southwest regional area. Actually, PAG was one of the sponsors of that, as well as Watershed Management Group, which you've probably heard
right.
of.
Right, yes, they've been on the show.
And they were just absolutely pivotal in getting that conference going here. Pima County, too, just a lot of people involved. Anyway, a woman gave a presentation about Phoenix showing that high-income areas and low-income areas in the 70s had a similar level of greening. And now that's not the case. Now there's a very large disparity.
And the gap is widening.
It's widening. And actually, rainwater harvesting is an affordable and, you know, approachable way of greening all kinds of environments.
And it ultimately, again, it becomes, it can be a money saver.
Oh, totally.
Absolutely and positively, because water, to me, water rates will continue to go up. They're so inexpensive now, but they will go up. And to be able to contribute to the environment and use the water that you got from the rain and put it back onto the soil, it's what I call the closed loop.
It's love it.
It's
wonderful.
Let's use it.
So it's very exciting to think about, you know, using our water in place and
so what are you going to do to reach out to businesses? Are you going to put more seminars on?
We do this every year, which is an excellent way to reach the construction industry. And we'll continue to motivate that. Right now, the Environmental Planning Advisory Committee, as I mentioned, is working on a resolution that goes to our regional governments through our regional council at PAG about low-impact development and looking at all of the pluses and positives about it and why. Just in support of the practice, really.
I know, and it makes me think about a time, and I think it might have been Colleen that I interviewed about when they do that, and Environmental Development Group, I've had them on my show, about bacon grease collection, because don't ever throw your bacon grease because it goes into the watershed and it drains, and it erodes them. I saw a film on it once, and like, I don't even want to think about it.
Well, it goes into the wastewater system.
Wastewater system.
And it's, what it does
disgusting.
Is it really clogs up up the wastewater system. It's not a good thing.
And it attracts cockroaches. I saw a film once, and it's funny how the things stick with you. But I was at something, maybe that, I don't know, Sheila Storm or somebody invited me to, and I'm like, this is really disgusting. Okay. Right. So that's exciting. Buffelgrass.
Low-impact development. So those are both of those are things where you have a nexus between different groups. And having the Sustainable Environment Program allows us to make those connections more easily.
Is this position one that is a position in other states? I mean, do you get to learn from other states and regions about what they're doing, or is it a new program that Pima County created?
Pima
Association of Governments.
Yeah. There are very few sustainability offices in the states. I mean, more and more every day, I think that's becoming a more popular thing.
Has a new office of sustainability with Joe Abraham. I mean, that's relatively new too. Right. And he's moving mountains over there.
You know,
it's the same concept.
I think, well, one of the drivers is global warming and climate change.
Right.
So when you look at adaptation strategies, you naturally look at a sort of a portfolio of solutions. It drives that need to be cross-sector in your thinking.
Right, not the silo effect, the integration.
Right.
I mean, so many people now I love are talking more about integration instead of we do this and we do that and we do this and not talking
to each
other.
You want to know my personal thought about
Absolutely.
Some of that?
It's my show. You can say whatever you want.
Well, I think there's been a sort of a funny thing happen with this economic downturn. It has been really hard on municipalities, especially in our region. We've had a lot of retirements and things. A lot of departments have had to merge.
Right.
And so cover each other's activities. And that tends to break down silos.
And some creative solutions have emerged because of it. Unfortunately, it was at great cost,
but
I could not agree with you more.
Yeah, there's
forging ahead.
Integration of ideas across departments. There are younger people that have newer ideas that are moving
up. Love the young people.
They're moving up in the structures of the organization. So I think that's actually affecting things.
Speaking of young people, this is not on one of the questions I was going to ask. If you don't know the answer, it's fine, but I want your opinion. When I interact with young people, what comes up all the time is social media. So is that a discussion within Pima Association of Governments?
Oh,
is the appropriate use of social media? Because young people, that's where they live.
Yeah, I had someone, and it all, of course, depends on what you mean by young. But,
right, to me, but anybody under 50. So younger.
Hey, that's me for another month. Anyway, so Facebook has been a big deal. We have a Stormwater Facebook page that's been very effective. I think we have an ongoing conversation on that page.
Right.
We're constantly posting on that page.
It's where people find out information. Yeah, it blows me away.
What I was going to say is that someone I know actually said, well, you know, she's not really sure if an organization is really an organization unless it's on Facebook. Isn't that funny?
It's true.
It's true.
If someone contacts me and they want to be on the show and it's an exciting topic for me, one of the first things I do is look at how many followers they have on Facebook, because it is one indicator. It's not the yay or nay for me, but it is one way to assess how connected are they with the consumer. And that's the world in which we live. It's a consumer-driven market for just about everything, because consumers are taxpayers. So, no, I get it. It's one indicator. If they have 10,000 followers, it's almost like a shoe-in. If they have, 25, I'm like, how are you going to develop your Facebook presence? Because this is an important topic.
Right.
And Twitter.
Right.
And Twitter and YouTube.
We haven't really gotten into Twitter, but we've gotten into Facebook.
So how about this? This will just blow you away. And I found this out yesterday. Pinterest is the third largest social media, the most active site now in the United States, Pinterest. And I was like, a month ago, I said, what the heck is Pinterest? Well, now I have 19 boards for Mrs. Green, and there's tons of Earth Day information on there.
Who knew?
Who knew? I am the modern one here. Pinterest. I'm like, what is Pinterest? I saw it in the Wall Street Journal, and it says pin it. And I'm pin what? So I went through, And I have someone wonderful helping me with Pinterest. Yeah. So there's your future. If you want to know exciting things in your future, I just looked into the crystal ball for you.
Okay, Claire. I'll get right on that.
It's right. It'll be on. You'll have 14 boards tomorrow. I know you're not going to believe this. I'm going to do a pause for anybody that might have just joined us and tell you everybody who we're talking to. It's Claire Zucker, who is the from Pima Association of Governments. She's the Sustainable Environment Program Director. And you're not going to believe this. We have about like 6 minutes left.
That's crazy.
So it is crazy. I just looked at it. It's like, okay, the half
five
hour
minutes.
Show, 5 minutes.
We're
getting the word. So do you want to talk a little bit about Earth Day?
Yes.
Every day should be Earth Day.
That's right. I put that down there. Every day should be Earth Day.
I didn't
day.
See that. You could check my Facebook. I put it
we
a lot.
We both said that.
Think alike.
I did bring some information. So you can find out about Earth Day on www.TucsonEarthDay.org. It's on Saturday the 21st. From 9 to 2 p.m. And PAG is not only a sponsor, but also will have a booth there.
And 18 years it was going on. I went to that Facebook page and liked it, kiddo.
Yeah.
So I want you to know, 18 years, I was like, I was still being an unconscious consumer 18 years ago. I can tell you that right now.
Just
throw it away.
Were.
Yeah. Styrofoam cups, no problem. Paper plates, let's use those for dinner. Boy, 18 years. So there were people that were getting the environment ready for me a long time ago. Hats off to them. So tell me what your PAG is going to be doing.
We have a booth and we do a lot of different kinds of outreach. We'll have our new sustainable environment tablecloth available for your viewing.
Can't wait to see that.
And banner. But besides that, we talk a lot about rideshare, transportation, how do you get to and from places.
And where is it?
It's at Reed Park.
Reed Park.
It's at
and
Reed
I
Park.
I knew that, but I don't know if everybody who's listening knows. And it's a family event.
Oh, it's great.
There's food.
You know,
there's fun.
I went last year. I mean, we go every year, but last year I happened to see the parade. It's, I think, scheduled for, I wrote down, 10 o'clock with the winners announced at 11:30. The parade's awesome.
How
you totally
fun.
Have
it's,
to go.
It's almost like Americana. I have
well,
a live
let,
show
let me
that
explain
day.
The parade. So the parade, they just walk around Reed Park and down through all the booths. And it's just this motley crew of people dressed up celebrating the earth. It's like so...
It's like 4th of July in Springerville. That's what we...
Exactly. It's like...
Americana.
It's very sweet. And
do kids... People come with their kids in red wagons and all that.
It's just very adorable. And
it's a feel-good thing. And there's food.
There's food, there's vendors. It's a lovely event. It really is. Lots of good information, too. I mean, I don't want to underplay that. The information is really great. And
how long does it go? Because I do have a live show at noon.
9
so
till
it's
2.
Hard for me. So if I get in the car and hurry, it's very hard to prep for the show and have it done. And we're having somebody from one of the founders of Earth Day coming on the show live.
Oh, really?
And someone from the Nature Conservancy. But I will be Facebooking and tweeting about it. And so then when you have that... Is it just Pima Association of Governments that has a booth or all the other, will Rideshare have a booth or is it all going
ours
to be?
Ours is all going to be the same booth.
Okay, okay.
And that's part of our whole program, our new outreach approach. And
where the nexus converges.
Well, we're trying to help people think about things in a connected way. So it's not just how you get to work. It's when you come home, how do you use your water and how do you, going to work saves you money on the bus, but it's also helping our air and our health, for those
and
sensitive
populations. Finding out where the bike paths are and
finding out
how safe
right.
that is. And there's a lot of information, this calculator that you talked about.
Yeah.
So before there is no time left, tell us how to connect with you. What's the call to action for people that are listening that you would say the best way to get involved? Is it to follow you on Facebook? Tell us what your advice is in terms of the call to action for citizens.
I think many of us, especially people who are listening to your show, are already doing things.
I agree.
So what they
we want them to invite their neighbors.
Well, and think about their entire impact and not just, they may understand one aspect, but not have explored another that they could incorporate into their lifestyles that would make a difference. Thinking in an integrated way across all the things that we do in our lives. And, our children have changed our attitudes towards brushing our teeth
goodness.
With water on, right?
I know. And our grandchildren.
Right. So how can we help them,
I know. It's amazing to me. It's a source of never-ending joy, and my source of never-ending sorrow is that this is a half-hour show.
I know.
Full.
Give our web address.
Web address. You go
www.pagnet.org, and come see us there. We have a rideshare page. We have a
www.pagnet.org, and you can always go info@MrsGreen'sWorld to get the information if you're driving and didn't hear it.
Yeah.
Claire, thanks so much for being on. Good luck in this
relatively new position. You're doing an awesome job.
Thanks, and it was really fun, and I'll get you the podcast. And everybody, remember, it's Earth Week, but more importantly, remember, every day should be Earth Day because we've got one planet. Let's take care of it. Make it a great green week. We'll be back again with Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight in the Southwest. Thanks for being a part of us.